You'll be round off the road to the river, flower splash. As the crowds arrive, fashionably late. To turn the key, turn the page, they won't wait. You've come to nowhere, you're going alone. Like a lonely verse without a song. When the crowds arrive,
yeah, some nice fiddle work on that. That was the Horse Feathers, and you'll find out in a minute why we're playing the Horse Feathers. This is Carol here with Arts Live and Local from the parking lot of the fabulous KMUN 919, KMUN Astoria, and we're broadcasting in KB as well. In Tillamook, 89.5. And coastradio.org to Squamish and Seashell and New York, Wyoming, Southern Cal, and all over the world. Thank you so much for joining me, and especially to those local folks who get to take part in all that we talk about in the next hour. And we're going to be talking about a lot. Actually, other people are going to do most of the talking. And by the way, the name of that piece, Thank You, Nevada, was Best to Leave. And I just thought that was a perfect message for some people. I'll leave it at that. Hey, Jennifer Crockett, are you there?
I am. How are you?
Good, good, good. Lovely to hear your voice. It's been a while.
I know. It's nice to hear yours.
Okay. So Jennifer Crockett is the executive director of the Liberty Theater here in Astoria on 12th and Exchange, 12th and Commercial. And see, give me a few months away from being there, and I can't even remember where it is. Of course, you can't miss it. It's the most beautiful gem in the middle of downtown Astoria. Except that what Jennifer's going to be talking about is the fact that the Liberty is having their gala, only it's a virtual gala. And that is happening tomorrow at 7 o'clock. So let me just ask you, was it more or less or the same amount of work to put on a virtual?
I think it depends on who you ask. Oh. I think Nancy, my office manager, usually shoulders the load of our in-person galas, and while I just try not to cry and get overwhelmed. And this one was a little bit more on my shoulders, as, you know, trying to navigate filming and editing, and we've had some really key help in that area. And so, yeah, it was different. It was a lot of work, but it was different.
Yeah, it's quite different. The gala itself, how long has that been going on? It's just a few years, isn't it?
Yeah, this is our third year.
Oh, really? This is the third. Well, they're so big. I thought they were more than that, but in
it
the
feels
past.
Like it.
Yes. So this is happening tomorrow, as I said, from 7 to 7:30. Is that correct?
Yeah, we decided to keep it short and sweet. We know everyone is maybe nearing the end of their comfort with Zooms, and so everyone's spending a lot of time in front of the screen. So I thought we would make it really short, sweet, and impactful and have some fun, and then send you on your way.
So tell us what a virtual gala is. Those two words somehow seem a little incongruent, but I know it's going to be exciting because I've seen a list of some of the folks, including Horse Feathers, am I right?
Yeah, I happen to know them pretty well.
Oh, you think? Do you hear that great fiddle?
A longtime fiddle player, yep.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
So the gala, it'll go live on our website at 7 o'clock, and you can join in for free and watch, and it's only 30 minutes long, and we have performances from Horse Feathers, 45th Parallel Universe Orchestra, and Angela Mead from the Metropolitan Opera, who's an Astoria favorite and is wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
And then we also have a testimonial from the Astoria School of Ballet.
Mm.
And then we're giving a little mini tour of our new vestibule and our brand new concession stand that not many people have seen yet.
I haven't.
And
I used to work there and hope to again someday. Of course.
Oh, yeah.
Work means volunteer work for most of us. But so how do you do a tour? And then we'll come back to the fabulous artists.
Yeah, so our board president, Ted Osborne, will be kind of talking people through our reasoning for upgrading these areas. And then while he's talking, there's footage of the areas. So you'll be able to see all of the new stuff.
Okay. So here I was picturing Ted's going to be walking around, you know. In Japan, when there's a tour guide, they hold a tall flag with a colored flag at the top, and everybody follows like ducks. So I was picturing us walking after Ted all around the building, and I thought, that's crazy. How do you do that? So you've already
filmed. We'll have to keep that idea for later, though.
Right, for a live one. So so you've filmed all of that. Is everything done now?
Kind of. There's some surprises that it will be in there. And it was fun to put together.
This is exciting. So the concessions is downstairs.
Yep. Yeah.
And that was the last I saw of it. It was totally blocked off with plastic.
Yeah. When we closed in March, we just started tearing up that area. And so I think people aren't going to believe what they see. Almost everything in our new concession stand is reclaimed from other areas of the theater.
Mm.
Like we used a lot of the extra glass from our canopy for all of our counters and counter facing.
Nice.
There's terracotta from other parts of the basement. And that entire area was almost primarily built by volunteers. So we were, super careful with all of the donated dollars, and we use it very mindfully, and we're really excited to roll that space out and get to show people.
This is exciting, especially for us locals who have been there and stood online with the tables and the, you know, the bottles and the cans behind the tables. And so it's going to be a little bit more exciting to hang out there.
Yeah, we clocked at one of the tribute shows last year. We timed it. It was about 32 minutes in line for a drink.
Oh, my.
So you had to really want it.
Right. Well, that's one way to control drinking, I guess, but not exactly ideal because people, of course, you have piped the music down there, isn't that right?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
But it's not quite the same as being upstairs in the gorgeous theater to see.
Exactly.
You know, there are folks, whether they're local or from a distance, who don't know much about the Liberty Theater. So could you give us a little background about the history of the theater?
Yeah. So it began its major restoration in about 1998. Since then, we have been operating with smaller shows and then gradually getting larger. We are primarily a gathering space for local, regional, and national events. We do stage rentals. We also produce our own shows. We have a banquet hall. I'd wager to say a large portion of our community has either graduated from high school on our stage or attended a homecoming in our McTavish room or
gotten married there.
gotten married here or come to a retirement party here. The theater has very much been a part of everyone's lives since 1925.
Yeah, and that's the ancient history. It was built in 1925 as a vaudeville theater, right?
Yeah.
Soon after the fire that took out downtown Astoria. And it's been going ever since. I think it had to close down for something like 6 months to replace the chairs and the rugs. Is that right?
Yeah.
Until COVID, of course. We don't count this because this was this was out of control. So, yeah. So it's been ongoing, but started as vaudeville, then I think it went to silent films, and then talkies, and there was at one point during the silent films an organ in there, but that's long since gone.
Yeah, I believe the organ was actually only here at the theater for about 6 weeks, and then talkies came out, and the organ was shipped to Colorado, if I remember correctly.
Okay. I did not have that piece. I'm sorry about that because, but you can see where the pipes might have been. So.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then after talkies, and it was talkies when I came, talkies. We call them movies, actually. But it was, I came in 74, and it was movies, and everybody was there, and there are lots of people still around who work there as ushers. I don't mean today's ushers like myself. I mean teenagers, ushers, and concession stands folks. So these days, it's not a movie theater, but the Liberty does show movies.
Yeah, every once in a while we do. We primarily do live music. We do a little bit of theater. We are currently in capital campaign to increase the infrastructure of the theater so that we can start putting on bigger shows, adding rigging, curtains, and lighting to our stage so that we can start doing Broadway-style shows and staged operas and fully staged ballets.
Beautiful.
There are things that we're not really able to do now, but we have a solid plan on how to get there.
Nice. Tell us, and thank you, Jennifer Crockett, for stewarding this. You and the board have done a fabulous job. So tell us about the curtains at the Liberty.
Yeah, we have the original Grand Drape from 1925. And we do have plans to replace it only because it's currently held up by wishes and dreams and safety pins and... it runs on brass tacks on a wooden rail, and it's kind of dangerous. We can't really use it while we have people on the stage, but we have big plans for that grand drape to be repurposed throughout the theater.
Ooh,
so she's not leaving the building.
That's exciting. I love the idea of recycling within the building so much of the history, so it stays with us. Okay, so now, every year, for the last only two, but still, they were huge. The gala, as you say, was the big fundraiser for the Liberty Theater. So how are you repurposing that for a virtual gala?
Pretty much, it's a little different, but you can donate on our website, and we'll have buttons right under the video, or you can call in. We'll have a phone bank that's running tandem to the video. Between 6:30 and 8:30 tomorrow night, and all of the phone numbers are on the site.
Mm-hmm.
So there's just a handful of volunteers and I answering phones tomorrow, and people can give online. And we have a match challenge that we're hoping that we hit, and so I think it'll be really fun.
Okay, now tell us about the content. You mentioned it briefly, but what's the background on the Angela Mead piece that you're going to be showing? Where'd that come from?
I reached out to her as just sort of a long shot. Hey, it would be great to feature you in our gala, and we would love to have you. And she responded back in about 3 minutes and said, absolutely.
Oh, my God. So. That is fabulous. I am so excited, and I know everybody who was part of the Astoria Music Festival, and Angela Mead, I think, is from either Olympia or someplace not too far away in Washington, she is one of the stars from the Metropolitan Opera in New York City. So she was happy to come out here because she got to visit family, but she blew everyone away. And she was the sweetest, loveliest. She was on this show a couple of times, actually, just very down home. And then you get her up on the stage, and oh my God.
I know.
Incredible.
Well, it's especially cool because she's singing from her home piano in her living room. And so you'd never get to see that any other time.
So you mean she created a video just for the Liberty?
Yep.
Oh, my goodness. I had no idea. I thought you were using old footage from one of her performances. Oh, this is extraordinary. So, folks, this is probably the only time I know for me, and I'm from New York, but this is the only time I'm going to get to see a Metropolitan Opera star singing in her house and dedicating it to us. How wonderful. Good for you, Jen, that you stepped outside your comfort level. Because as lovely as she is, I know that she was very protective of her material, as is correct, because of her status. Angela Mead. And then you have one of my favorites, the 45th Parallel Universe Orchestra. Just the title alone is enough to suck people in. But one of the things I love about them is that they have a whole bunch of parts, moving parts. So what are you going to be doing with 45th Parallel?
Yeah, they're particularly exciting as well. They have remained innovative even through closures. Mm. One of the challenges that classical musicians and popular musicians had early on in the pandemic closures was there's a lag time. So when you try to perform together or play together or rehearse together on something like Zoom, there's about a 1 second lag.
Mm-hmm.
And 45th Parallel hired a developer to create some software that got rid of that lag.
Mm.
And so they jumped on that right away, which is how they've been able to do, quartets and quintets and play together live with people in their own homes. And so, they put together a video for us of piccolo player and a pianist, and they're playing together live from their own homes.
Oh, great. So, wonderful. Yeah. Wonderful. Yeah, they have been a delight because, as I say, I'm kind of one of those, thank you, Slab, short attention span people. Well, with 45th parallel, you just don't know what you're going to get because, as you say, they're so innovative, and they do straightforward classical music, and then they, and of course, one of my favorites is when they position themselves all over the Liberty Theater in the dark.
Yeah.
And that was, I'll never forget that. That was a one of a kind, although maybe it could happen again for everybody who missed it.
Yeah, we'll definitely do that again.
That was extraordinary. And what are the beloved horse feathers doing?
So Horse Feathers, we recorded a song over at the Rope Room Studios, just about a block from the theater over on Exchange Street. Mm. And it was put together. KMUN helped out with it. Fort George helped out with it. And yours truly is playing on it as well.
Oh, yes. I forgot to mention, folks, in addition to Jennifer Crockett being the executive director of the Liberty Theater, she's also a professional clarinetist and plays classical, also the gamut, and probably just about anything, including, well, you're a regular member with the, is it the Portland Chamber Music? Is that the name of the group?
Yeah.
So you end up heading in quote normal times, whatever the heck that means, you end up going all over with your group performing. And you also perform in unusual places, like, tell us, with Portland Chamber Music. Where do you folks perform?
Well, Portland Chamber Music is a nonprofit, and we perform in areas of Portland and surrounding areas that don't normally see that type of music, and we always have our shows be free. Mm-hmm. So we'll perform in areas that are totally underserved. We'll, play at a local community center or a church, and the following is just amazing. There's so many people that show up that... Yeah. You know, it's the same thing as 45th Parallel, where you're, I didn't know I liked classical music. And I thought it was just,
dead.
Older music for blue hair people, and that's not the case. And so, it's been a really, the music's top notch and the musicians are top notch. And it's the founder is a trained soprano from Russia, and she's amazing. And, it's a really rewarding group to play with.
And the dedication is terrific, too. And you folks have played in Astoria, couple of times. Yeah.
But we tried to do a yearly show, which we had to cancel this year.
Right. But you are not playing tomorrow night because you had too much to do putting this show on. So Horse Feathers is going to be performing. And then what is the Astoria School of Ballet, which has... their studios in the Liberty Theater in upstairs. Isn't that right?
Yeah. Yeah. So this is a piece that I'm really excited for people to learn about. In March, when we all had to close, my concern as a lifelong musician was that we were going to start losing performing arts organizations. And so I met with our fundraising consultants, and I learned about what a backbone agency does. And so we quickly adopted a temporary mission at the theater to be a catalyst for the performing arts in Clatsop County. Mm-hmm. We've positioned ourselves as a backbone agency for 17 organizations, everything from the Coaster Theater to Encore Dance, Jeannie Maddox's Dance, Kala, The Pack, Astor Street Opry, lots of small dance troupes. And we made sure the Liberty has a really extensive relationship with elected officials and foundations and, our incredible patrons. And so we started meeting with these 17 organizations twice a month to, first of all, find out, are you okay? Are you going to make it? Mm-hmm. here is funding that's available. Here's how you write a grant. Mm. Here's what you need to consider for your insurance. Here's how we keep our spaces clean and safe. Here's how we plan to reopen. Here's fundraising ideas. And we still meet every 2 weeks.
I am so grateful for this. This is what I'm hoping, my secret dream, which I hope is the secret dream of everybody, is that this will continue. This of cooperation among the arts organizations, theaters, venues, schools, all of this will continue. What an amazing, what did you call it? The backbone. Yeah. It's such, it gives such strength to the arts in our greater community here, Clatsop County.
It's been awesome. The Liberty knew all of these organizations because they've rented our stage or worked with us at some point, but they didn't know each other necessarily.
Uh-huh.
And then over the last few months, we started to see really interesting and exciting collaborations between the organizations, like North Coast Chorale wanted to perform outside, but they didn't have an outdoor space, so they partnered with Astor Street Opry.
Right, right.
Or the Coaster Theater partnering with Kala, and all these really cool sort of cross sections.
Mm-hmm.
And then we took what we learned from the group and what their immediate needs were, and I testified on the state panel for CARES Act funding to bring relief funds to arts and culture in Clatsop County. And we ended up bringing almost $500,000 to our county through the arts and culture organization.
Oh, my God. That is fabulous.
Yeah,
that is
great. And, you know, we've had a lot of great help. And the performing arts in Clatsop County, if I was worried, I am not anymore. These people are fighters.
Yeah.
And they're awesome. And so I think everybody just realized early on, you can fight or you can flight. We all chose to fight. And so
and fight
it's
together.
Been really amazing.
Instead of against or competition, it's fighting together. And that is, that's just beautiful. And yes, I know a number of these organizations and folks and have heard about this coming together and how good it feels too, just to meet each other and hang out and fetch a little bit and then celebrate a little bit. And I do want to, since you mentioned North Coast Chorale, let me just slip in. They were supposed to be doing the Messiah sing-along virtual, and that has been canceled. That was for November 29th. So just had to let folks know that. But the Clatsop County Food Bank is still in need, so you can check that out, folks. So so back to the gala tomorrow night, ASB, you mentioned they're going to do something, Astoria School of Ballet.
Yeah. Maggie's doing a testimonial about the alliance that we created.
Okay.
And
nice.
And you'll get to see some of her dancers, and it's so adorable.
Oh,
and
wonderful.
I miss having them all in my hallway every afternoon.
I know. I love that group. And they work hard, and she works them hard, and it shows.
Yeah.
It shows. So
yeah,
wonderful.
I started taking classes at Astoria School of Ballet with Maggie. I've been taking a ballet class once a week.
Wait a minute. Have you ever done that before?
No, I'm terrible. I'm a musician. I can't tell my left from my right, and I don't bend very well. But it's fun. It's really fun.
That's wonderful. But you do know a fifth in music. Yes. But that's another story. Okay, folks. Tomorrow, you can check this out, 7 p.m., go to libertyastoria.org. This is for you wherever you are in the world, libertyastoria.org, and it'll be right there. But if you want to put a slash gala in, you can do that too. Or how would they call if they want to call?
Yeah, the number for the phone bank is on the gala page.
Oh, good. Okay.
I don't want to give it out right now because the hours are just from 6:30 to 8:30
right,
tomorrow.
Right. Good. Okay.
Yes.
But you can go to libertyastoria.org anytime and see what's happening and figure it out. And, of course, during the quote, normal times, you'll see a ton of things happening in the community. So again, this is the Liberty's first virtual gala. Who knows? There may be more, but hopefully
this is our last virtual gala.
Or
I'd rather see everyone in person.
Right. Or there may be more just a little here, a little there, but we're hoping for the real thing next time. But this sounds very real to me. I am so excited to see Angela Mead, too, because it's been years. And the idea of seeing her at home. I've been watching various performances through All Arts out of New York. But she feels like a friend. She's part of us. And so to see her performing is very exciting. So 7 to 7:30, get there a little early so you don't look at the clock and say, oh my God, I missed the whole thing. And the tour with Ted Osborne. And so Angela Mead from the Metropolitan Opera, 45th Parallel Universe Orchestra, the Horse Feathers, our beloved locals, sorta, and Maggie Wall from Astoria School of Ballet. Jennifer, are you going to appear in this?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Are you going to wear a red dress?
I did. How did you know that?
I didn't know, but I guessed. I can picture you right now.
It's the only event I've gotten to dress up for March.
So, there you go, Lord. Well, thank you so much for doing this. Folks, please tune in and please support your local arts that support all of us. Thank you, Jennifer Crockett. It's been great talking with you.
Thanks for having me, Carol. Stay safe, and I'll see you soon.
Thanks, you too. Folks, today is Trans Day of Remembrance and Day of Resilience, and we have some music for you. Stay tuned. Arts Live and Local on KMUN.
Excuse me, sir, what did you say? You shout so loud it's hard to tell. You say that I must change my ways, for I am surely bound to hell. Well, I know you'd damn me if you could, but my friend, that's simply not your call. If God is great and God is good, why is your heaven so small? You say you know, you say you've read that whole judge not, lest ye be judged yourself. For I know you'd damn me if you could, but my friend, that's simply not your call. If God is great and God is good, why is your help?
So, folks, when someone holds up a holy book to you, let's all make sure that it's for everybody, whatever language it's in. And a holy book can be whatever you consider holy. What I consider holy is respecting all life, human, animal, trees. I'm looking at them right now. And as I said, today is Trans Day of Remembrance and Day of Resilience. And I personally stand with my sisters and brothers. And that was Why Is Your Heaven So Small with Susan Werner from Out in the Silence. Well, not at all silent, although perhaps she is a bit silent here on Arts Live and Local. My next guest, well, maybe you don't hear her as much as you read her. So Alyssa Evans, hi Alyssa.
Hi.
Am I right that mostly people will be reading your words or looking at the way you've put things together in the Coast Weekend of the Astorian? Yeah. Although, let's give a quick tip of the hat. Is it true that you're also a KMUN programmer?
The rumors are true. I do what's called Under the Radar. It's now weekly, starting tonight, actually, at 10 p.m. on Fridays. And I put together a playlist for 2 hours that features some, like, indie and alternative music that you probably haven't heard. And the whole point of it is to give you something that's under the radar to add to your playlist.
I love it. Now,
thanks.
Did I use those words, under the radar? Because if I did, it was an accident, because I did not remember the name of your show. I was thinking, you know, you're out there, but you're sort of under the radar, because most of what people know you for without knowing you is that you are the editor of Coast Weekend.
Yes.
And how long have you been there?
I started in January this year, and I actually started after a promotion after working at the Chinook Observer over in Long Beach for about a year and a half.
Okay. So do you have a background in journalism or in feature writing?
Yes.
How do you get to this position?
Yeah. Well, I graduated from Western Washington University up in Bellingham in June 2018, and just within a couple weeks of graduating, actually started the job at the Observer. And while I was at Western, I ended up getting two bachelor degrees. One is in journalism, which makes sense, and then another one is in sociology. And while I was there, I got to work for some local newspapers, and then I got to be the editor of a magazine and the student newspaper. So I got to dip my toes in when I was up in the upper left corner of Washington before I moved to the lower left corner.
Right. Well, at what point, I know with a lot of times with musicians and with visual artists, they will tell me stories about how I've been making art all my life, doodling or whatever. Or they handed me a piano or a violin when I was four, you know, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
How does the writing come about?
That's a good question. Probably sounds a lot more impressive than it was, but when I was probably like 7 or 8 years old, my longest friend, who I'm still friends with, her name's Taylor, she lived just up the street from me. She would come over and we'd have sleepovers and we'd be trying to figure out what to do. And when we were in class, and it would have been second and third grade at the time, we would make stories about us going on adventures and that kind of thing.
Nice.
And when she would come over for sleepovers, we also would make my parents a newspaper of some sort. And it was more so jokes and comics more than it was hard news, because
we didn't have the means to go around and report on anything.
Yeah. Hard news. How old were you? Yeah, that would be tricky.
I was probably seven.
Yeah.
Seven or 8 years old at the time.
I wonder what hard news would be to a seven-year-old.
But yeah, and where we grew up was pretty quiet, too. So luckily there wasn't a whole lot of news going on, ironically. Yeah.
Are you from the Pacific Northwest?
Yeah, we grew up in Bonnie Lake, Washington. It's about 45 minutes south of Seattle.
Huh, okay.
Yeah, yeah, you blink and you miss it.
And it's not on I-5.
It's, if you're on I-5,
yeah,
you have to get off of I-5 to 167, which takes you, it's one of the smaller highways. Then you get onto another one called 410. So
and you keep getting smaller and smaller.
Jump.
Nice, nice. I was just thinking, I don't believe I've seen the name on I-5, but it's possible that I've missed it. Well, we're delighted that you are here in Astoria, doing a great job with Coast Weekend. I like what you've done. And
Thank you so much.
Now that you're a part of the KMUN family as well, that's very exciting. And congratulations on increasing your show. Now, you're one of our homegrown radio producers these days.
Yes.
So you make this happen at home.
Yeah, it's my turn with the equipment right now. So I've been spending the last week every night after I get done with a shift working for the newspaper. I've been spending about 2 to 3 hours putting together some shows that will actually be used throughout December, which will be kind of fun.
Okay, folks. So for those of you who are scratching your heads, Alyssa is telling you the inside story of how you're able to be listening to KMUN 24/7, despite what's going on, and despite the fact that the studio is actually closed to all but three or four staff members. I am sitting in the parking lot, just in case you want to come and wave on your way by. But most of the music programmers and others as well, bedtime story readers, thank you, Jim, and all of the people who are doing this, are doing what Alyssa says. And after you do it about 20 times, I guess it becomes second nature, but I haven't gone there. I'm blessed to have Lisa Smith doing the Tuesday Folk Show and doing a great job. And I focus on arts live and local. So now I asked Alyssa to come because I started reading about all these things happening online. And it started with the Swedes in Oregon. And I thought, oh my. This is like so relevant to Astoria when we have such a large Nordic/Scandinavian population. And so I wrote to Alyssa and said, blah, blah, blah. And here she is. So Alyssa, tell us what's the story? Coast Weekend Book Club, Swedes in Oregon. What's happening?
Yeah. So we, as everyone else has been impacted by the shutdowns and everything, events obviously haven't been happening the same way that they usually do, like you and Jennifer were talking about. Mm-hmm. And so because fall and winter are going to be quieter this year, we had been brainstorming and trying to figure out what can we do that will help give people something to look forward to right now. And this was actually my boss's idea. So the credit really should go to Jonathan Williams. He came up with the concept of it. And we're basically going to be running a virtual book club of sorts. And it's one of a few different programs that we're going to be running throughout the next few months. Mm-hmm. And what we'll be doing is readers like yourself can read what's called Swedes in Oregon. It's a new book that was published just about a week and a half ago.
Yeah, so
it's brand new. It comes from two authors named David Anderson and Anne Bodenstoller, and they both are volunteers with Swedish Roots in Oregon, which is a very tight-knit volunteer organization that works to really record Swedish life in Oregon. It's the name is really what the point of the book is, and they put together this new book, and it features several historical photos of people who you might know, but also quite a few that you probably don't know who had a big impact, not only in Astoria's history, but throughout the state. And these are all people of Swedish descent. And the book itself helps tell some of the stories of why Swedish people immigrated to Oregon and what their lives have been like and how they've evolved.
I
read that this is part of the Images of America series, and I'm familiar with that. I think that's the one maybe Sydney Stevens uses.
Is.
And so I've seen many of those, and there are fabulous photographs in these books.
Yes.
So
yeah, it's
that's
a fantastic
book. And they did the text to go with the photo.
Yeah,
they probably collected the. So now, and now people only have a few weeks to get the book and read it. How do they get the book?
So the book is sold through a few different places. You can go through Arcadia Publishers, the publishing company, and buy it there directly.
Mm-hmm.
But if.
Otherwise,
if you search,
don't name any large corporations, please.
If you search Swedes in Oregon online, you should be able to find that Arcadia Publishing link.
Good.
But it's also on the Coast Weekend story. So if you go to coastweekend.com and search Swedes in Oregon, we have the link there as well.
Right, with photos of... good. And I understand that this the book club meeting is going to be on the 14th. Is that right?
Yeah, it is.
Okay.
So the arguably what I think is the most exciting part of this is we'll actually have like a book club gathering, and it will be held virtually, and we're going to host it through Coast Weekend's Facebook page, which is just facebook.com/coastweekend, and we're going to have Anne and David will both participate.
Oh,
and then
nice.
Our bookmonger reviewer, her name is Barbara Lloyd McMichael, she is also going to be participating. And so the three of them will have a conversation about the book. And then I'll be there too, and I'll help kind of curate some of our readers' questions. You'll be able to type in questions and have Anne and David answer them directly. So it'll kind of give you a little bit more of a one-on-one experience that you usually don't get with books.
No, and that's terrific.
Yeah.
and you don't have to be a Swede or an Oregonian in order to take part in this. This is kind of like you don't have to be Jewish to love Levi's rye bread. You don't have to be Swedish or from Oregon to take part in this. But let me ask you one very selfish question. Do you have to be a Facebook person?
Right now the plan is to have it on Facebook, but I am also probably going to figure out another method for people who don't have Facebook.
Thank you.
And that'll be announced in Coast Weekend. So
great.
Make sure you're following along, and I'll probably include it in my weekly scratch pad column.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's on December 14th. So that means you need to check out the book first. And these books are just delightful keepsakes because, as I say, they're full of old historical photographs and then having the authors give the text and then having them right there in the room with you, in the virtual room with you.
Yes.
Sounds great. Good. Thank you. Okay, now,
yeah.
I must say, there are so many things going on right now. For example, the Magnanimous Mug Award at Fort George. People have to participate in that. It's only through the 24th of November. I read all of this in the Coast Weekend, by the way, Alyssa.
Oh, great.
So, if there's anything you want to pitch in, how do people reach you online? What's the best?
That is a good question. You can contact me by email at aevans@dailyhistorian.com. And we also, if you go to our website, which is, again, coastweekend.com, there is a tab at the top of the website that says send us your news.
Ah.
You're welcome to contact us there as well. And then you can also give me a call at my office line if that works better for you. And that one is 971. Here, let me double check it just real fast.
Right.
I don't want to give false information.
But, I will. Yeah.
Those are the easiest ways to get a hold of us.
So now if somebody goes to coastweekend.com, will they be able to see the latest issue of Coast Weekend, or can they sign up for it?
Yes.
Or yeah?
So yeah, if you go to the main page of Coast Weekend, if you're on a desktop or a laptop or like a tablet of sorts, you can scroll down a bit. And there's an option that shows you a little photo of the front page. And you can actually click it and look at the e-edition there.
Right.
And then we also have this, all the stories go online too.
Okay.
And if you want to, you can go to, again, the top of the website. There's a link called email alerts. And you can actually pick to subscribe to the few email newsletters we have, mm-hmm. so you can get the print version in your email for free, and then you can also, we have a couple other newsletters,
mm-hmm. for Discover like Our Coast
and featured stories.
Great. I recommend it, folks. I get it, and I don't know how I started getting it, but I depend on it. So in addition to Magnanimous Mugs, which celebrates several nonprofits, and the nonprofits need to earn their own money that you can donate there through the Fort George Magnanimous Mugs or just to the organization. And then Fort George gives gifts to the top three winners. So it's encouraging people to support your local nonprofit. And I didn't write them down, and don't have enough time to name them all, so you need to check that out. Another exciting thing that's happening, one of my favorites, is Clatsop Animal Assistance, which usually has that huge gathering, again, at the Lovell Room, and with that table, that 100-foot-long table filled with cookies and cakes and pastries and jams and my mouth is watering just thinking about it, and all of the silent auction items, and they work very hard on that, and they bring in a lot of money that supports Clatsop Animal Assistance, which supports the animals that are at our shelter. But it doesn't go through the county. This is a separate nonprofit organization. So check that out. I went there, I donated money, and here's the fun thing. You can send them photos of your animal companion and you, or just the animal companion, during these times, and they will put them on their website. So that's kind of a fun thing, too. We also have something happening with an Astoria piano. Do you know about that?
I do know about that.
Tell us, what is
there, local resident, her name is Katrina, is putting together kind of a grassroots effort to get a full-size piano installed in downtown Astoria outside, and she is trying to get local residents to come up with concepts to design the piano. It could be painted. It could have plants put on it. It could be really anything that people can think of. And we ran a story in Coast Weekend about it, and Katrina is trying to get submissions by the end of this month to her email, which is kkngyen@mail.com. And so if you're interested in designing a piano, the piano already exists.
Right.
You don't have to build the piano, but to add some of your own flair, it's going to be installed next spring.
And they're looking
for a fun project.
Looking for the right space for it. I remember seeing a piano right by one of the galleries, and people were playing on it, and it was wonderful. And I think she was partly inspired by John, Helmut John, reading that he plays piano. And so all kinds of people would be able to stop in and regale us with music. So what a treat.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you to her, and thanks for putting that out. There's more happening. We're just about out of time. The Coast Weekend is having a photo contest until the 17th of December. I'm going to let folks go to your website to find out more of that, coastweekend.com. And my guest, Alyssa Evans, is the editor. You can read her, what's it called, Scratchpad?
Yes.
Okay. You can read her scratch pad. My cat would love that. And do check out Swedes in Oregon coming up very soon. Well, not that soon. It's middle of December, but you know how time is so fluid these days. So, take part in the newest book club in town, virtual book club. And we can all be there. Thank you, Alyssa. You're doing a great job. Keep it up.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate
it. You bet. And I look forward to hearing your show tonight, 10 o'clock KMUN 91.9 or KTCB 89.5 or coastradio.org or the TuneIn app. So congratulations, and we'll see you virtually soon.
Sounds good. Okay. Thank you. Take care.
Bye-bye. And it's almost time for us to close. I did want to play a piece of music to celebrate Native American Heritage Month. And this is from the album Reservation Blues with Jim Boyd and Sherman Alexie. And we have Prophecy. And I'm going to ask my good friend Nevada, who's engineering this whole thing, which would not be happening without him, and Graham setting it up, and Emily, and Susan, and Janet, and Joanne, and Kathleen, our fabulous staff. Thank you to all of them. Remember, you can go to coastweekend.org and hit the button and put something in our kitty, and you can also tune in to Jacob Miller on the Sou'wester site tomorrow night and the Manzanita Writers Series at 4 o'clock with Kendra Elliott and Melinda Lay, and that's tomorrow. Thanks for being here, folks. Tune in to KMUN on Monday at 3 and KT and KCPB at 10 for Fracked Gas on the Columbia. Stay safe, stay smart, stay well, and stay in touch. Thank you.
This is not the river we were promised. We light sweet grass and wait for the salmon's return. Sister, I believe in salmon. Brother, I believe in smoke. Somewhere, an old Indian man sleeps in a doorway. If you see him, stop to give him a greeting and say his name aloud so that he also remembers it, and whisper a prayer for him. Somewhere, An old Indian woman sits in a doorway. If you see her, stop to give her a greeting and say her name aloud so that she also remembers it, and whisper a prayer for her. Somewhere, Indian children wait.